This ain't fake news here, DeKemper.
Buffalo Wild Wings for the Bucks and the Rams, Sunday, 4 o'clock.
We've got another Buck game coming up, and you can watch it with yours truly, Buffalo Wild Wings in
Oldsmar, Tampa Road.
Lee, be there or be square. I'm expecting special guests, perhaps. I'll have gift cards. It's a great time. First, we started off in Wesley Chapel last month with a Bucks preseason game. It was a good turnout. A lot of Buck fans there, meet and greet. I love meeting you guys. And if you go, and I expect you there, try the Philly cheesesteak. You'll think you're at Geno's or Pat's, right in the city of brotherly love. Buffalo Wild Wings,
centrally located Oldsmar.
Meet and greet, and I can't wait to see you guys.
You're getting me thirsty and hungry here, Ira.
Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
Pin Chasers is your home for Thursday night bowling, unlimited bowling every Thursday night at Pin Chasers, $10.99 starting at 9 p.m. and enjoy $1 Miller Lights while you bowl. The details are all at pinchasers.net. Free shoes, as always, it's available at all three Tampa Bay area locations, and that's just one of the daily specials at Pin Chasers. Check them all out, including two on Sunday, which includes their famous breakfast bowl for $8 that includes breakfast. Pinchasers.net is the website. Pin Chasers, more than 60 years serving the Tampa Bay community.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Ira Kaufman Podcast, recording live from the aptly named Den of Depression after the Bucks choked away what would have been a win to a rookie quarterback in a truly embarrassing fashion Sunday evening for the entire nation to witness and the media capital of the world, New York, to have a dance over. Ira, thoughts on this debacle?
All I can think of is the immortal words of Jack Buck after Kirk Gibson hit that home run. I can't believe what I just saw. And I'll tell you why. Look what the Bucks wasted today. Besides the overall opportunity to go 2-1 before they embark on that horrendous NFL quirk schedule where they don't come back for 2 months. And now they got a losing record going to play the Rams, who are one of the six, seven, eight best teams in football. That's daunting. And by the way, Buck fans, Rams favored by 9.5 next Sunday in the early lines. Not only did they waste that, but they wasted fantastic efforts by Mike Evans, Shaq Barrett, a very good game by Ronald Jones, which will be buried by the debris of this freaking loss. This is one giant kick in the balls to Bucks supporters who were starting to believe in this football team. Is the season over? No. But if this team finishes 6-10, Lee, every Buck fan will look back and mark this game as the turning point in this season.
It's not so much that the Bucks lost. Yeah, they lost. It's not so much the Bucks coughed up an 18-point lead. An 18-point lead at halftime.
With no Barkley.
And a rookie quarterback. So that was their main weapon, a rookie quarterback. It wasn't all that, although that's all just terrible. But it wasn't that. It was how they lost in the final seconds. So many people just look for things to jump on Jameis about. Now, I'm not saying he was stellar. He was good today. I wouldn't say he was stellar. But son of a gun, just what you draft a quarterback for, he drove him down. Had him on the 9-yard line with 13 seconds.
Hit Evans with that big pass.
Yeah, had him on the 9-yard line with 13 seconds left, setting him up for a win. Then Arians inexplicably takes a delay of game. Then he has Jameis take a 2-yard loss on purpose to set up the field goal. And I don't know how many times have we seen this over and over again. When you do something like that, you're setting up a field goal by taking a negative yardage. You're setting yourselves up to fail. And of all people, we never dreamed would do something like that, is Bruce Arians. And my main question is,
Who gelded this man? You heard me at the press conference. I asked him, you had time for one, maybe two shots with 13 seconds left. Take a shot in the end zone. It's not like you have a bunch of smurf receivers like the Redskins had 30 years ago. They have Evans. They have O.J. Howard. They have Brate. Chris Godwin, who's great at physical contact. And instead, he wants to take up, you know, he wants to go in reverse by 7 yards to set up a field goal for a rookie kicker who already had a shaky day.
You're making some strong points, but let us not let this young man off the hook.
Okay? I'm not.
The snap was solid. The hold was solid. The kick was horrendous. Lee, with all the rigmarole and the 2-yard loss and then the delay again, it's still a PAT. It's a point after try.
Make the
freaking kick.
An old PAT.
Lee, you got to make the kick. I'm going to say it right now. Until he proves me wrong. I got more confidence in Matt Gay kicking a 54-yarder than a 38-yarder. How do you like them apples?
I
got more confidence in that.
I don't disagree, and I think Arians agrees with you.
Well, that's no good.
No,
that's no good.
I know. Isn't that spooky? If you think your kicker is better at 50 yards than point-blank range, you got a problem.
You got a problem. And who didn't need this most of all? Jason Light.
Oh, my gosh. He's getting killed on
social media. Because, you know, look, after last week's game, you know, I'm the first guy to say, look at these guys that are looking better under different coaches with Villa and Hargraves and this and that. And then the curse of the kicker starts again. Matt Bryan, I said, is smiling somewhere, but maybe not because the Falcons lost and they ain't any good.
No.
They're 1-2. They don't show anything. This division is ripe for the taking, Mr. DeKemper. Ripe for the taking. And I'm going to say this. Even if Gay makes that kick and the Bucs win this game, I don't like the way they played today. They didn't play well. You cannot let a guy in his first NFL start ravage you like this.
Second half, yeah.
First half, they have great weapons.
Well, Sterling Shepard's okay.
He's okay. Ingram's okay.
Ingram is damn good.
He's good. He's not he's good.
He made maybe the catch of the year today.
He did.
My gosh. I mean, he looked like he was going for a rebound.
But, Lee, how do you let him get a 75-yard touchdown on the first snap of the second half when the Giants were down and out, Barkley on the sideline, in crutches, they're dead on their feet, they got nothing going,
They're
on the road with a guy making his first NFL start, and all of a sudden they're back in the football game. And that was terrible defense on that play. Terrible.
Sure it was. Well, you know what? Somebody or some people at one buck, if they don't have any shame in what I'm about to say, they really need to find a new career. And I'm serious about that. All I read and heard coming out of New York was, this is the time to start Daniel Jones because it's the Bucks. Sure, they're playing a good defense. Russo, you run Russo's show, and he flat out came out and said they can't handle prosperity. That's exactly what he did. And sure enough, he proved them all right. And for people at One Buck Palace, people that work in the building, I don't care if they're players, coaches, on up the ladder, if a team says this is the one we need to start a rookie quarterback because it's the Bucks, and they will always choke after a win, do you not have any shame in that statement?
And Lee, the difference is they couldn't handle prosperity in the game within the game.
Yeah.
The 28-10.
Yeah.
You know, nobody expects the Bucks to score 20. Now, I want to make this point, and it's going to make Buck fans sick, but it's a fact. This ain't fake news here, DeKemper. The Giants scored 4 touchdowns today. What I'm about to say is a fact. Their touchdown drives were 75, 75, 75, and 80. That can't happen. It's not like they got short fields. The Bucs are turning the ball over.
Yeah.
No. That didn't happen. He marched down the field, and the Bucs had no answers for this kid. Maybe this kid's good, but in his first NFL start, facing an 18-point deficit on the road, this can't happen. What happened to Bowles' scheme? What happened to the defense they were playing the first 10 quarters of this season?
Yeah, I mean, well, and what happened in the first half defense? You know, people, you were talking to people at halftime, I was too. Like, wow, this team shut down McCaffrey, shut down Barkley. What a great defense.
I said 10 quarters. 10 quarters, you know. And then the 11th quarter struck, and so did Evan Ingram. And now it's game on.
That's Mike Smith type of defense.
You know, a lot of people, and this reminds me a little bit of the Falcon-Patriot Super Bowl when Atlanta had a 28-3 lead. Yeah, Kyle Shanahan screwed up some things in the fourth quarter, and they should have put that game away with a field goal, and they moved back, and they didn't score, and they lost the game. But I've always made this point. Why is everybody focusing on Kyle Shanahan when the defense couldn't hold the 28 to make a freaking stop? So I feel kind of the same way here. Matt Gay's got to make that kick, and I'm not saying anything different.
Mm-hmm.
But make a freaking stop, Lee. Mm-hmm. The Giants went down the field with 4 minutes left and went ahead. Why is that happening on this defense?
Well, I got to give some credit where credit is due.
Barrett can't play any better. You cannot play better than Barrett played today. I'm sorry.
Now think about this. How can a team potentially have defensive player of the week, potentially Shaq Barrett,
which would be a second straight week.
Yeah. And potentially offensive player of the week, Mike Evans.
Excellent point.
And they still lose.
And they
how?
Still lose.
This isn't just irrational reaction. I've read this before today. We've read it over. I'm sure you've gotten emails about this, seen comments on JoeBucksFan.com during the summer. The fans are, they're right at the edge of screaming for people to blow up the franchise. Just blow it up. Start from square one. Because you know what? You can come out here and do a Dolphins and have just as much success, or lack thereof, and probably, you know, get good draft picks. But, I mean, fans are just, they're fed up. You know, people are saying, I'm done with this team. I can go to the beach in the afternoons. I can spend time with my family.
It's a week, Lee, it is a week-to-week league, and we saw how the narrative changed when they won in Charlotte after losing mm-hmm. at home to the Niners. And if they go to the Rams and win, we're not speaking like this, and Buck fans will be back on the bandwagon. But, Lee, it's unlikely that they win that game. It's unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams are strong. They're strong.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're not the Patriots, but they're very good. And they represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Some guy Twittered me today, this morning, Sunday morning. I had to mute the person right away. It was so idiotic. This guy said, without Sue, Aaron Donald's and nothing.
That's crazy. That's crazy. By the way, who are they going to see next week? I believe Aqib Talib might play for the Rams. Marcus Peters is the corner.
Well, you know what? You said the fans will come back. I'm not so sure if they come back. I think they're so fed up. It would take the Bucks being in the playoffs for them to change their minds.
Well,
they're that fed up.
It would look differently going to New Orleans and not facing Breeze if you're 2-2. I think it's unlikely.
Now, Teddy played really well today.
That's why I thought it was so important to be 2-1 heading into this crazy schedule.
You're correct. You're absolutely
correct. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
The question I asked Hargraves and Levante David in the locker room, and I got their impressions of Jones. They were very complimentary. They're class acts, these guys.
Yeah.
But they both said that we can't let this linger. Now, Lee, it's easy to say that and a lot harder to do. This thing could accompany them along with the baggage that they pack to go to LAX. They're in a danger zone, Lee, after a game like this. And as far as Matt Gay's concerned, Lee, you know, we talked about this, Lee, in the summer, and I said, he's a guy that might be able to make the 55-yarder, but I don't have a lot of confidence on the makeable
mm-hmm.
kicks. And I wish I wasn't right. Now,
you're right.
They failed on two extra points. One he missed, and the other one was blocked. And J.P. Peterson, who's a sharp, you know, guy mm-hmm. watching, he said that the second PAT was low, and the one that was blocked, and that's on Gay.
Yeah.
So that's basically him blowing two PATs.
That would have won the game right there.
And this field goal that he missed, that's his second miss. He's 7-for-9. This team's not good enough to overcome bad kicking. Can't have bad kicking.
Yeah. No, they're not. They're not. And I might add, I'm so close to throwing my cards on the table. Of course, that will hack off so many people, it won't be funny. But what was I screaming for all offseason?
A pass rusher.
And yeah, they got one, but that's all they've got. Didn't they learn from last year? They had a pass rusher. Great. JPP, nothing else. And that's all. And Shaq is doing a hell of a job. A fantastic job, but that's all they have.
You're right. If teams, and they're going to pay extra attention to Barrett, starting with the Rams. Now he's a known commodity.
Now he's a target.
And by the way, I dug this up. It's my stat and nobody else's. So I'm taking credit for it, DeKemper. I wrote it Sunday night, but I'm going to repeat it for the podcast listeners. The Broncos, God bless them, decided, hey, Shaq Barrett, part-time player, we'll let him hit free agency. You know, maybe he'll leave, maybe he won't. Well, the Bucs pounced. Good for the Bucs.
Yeah.
He's got 8 sacks, Lee. The Broncos are the only team in the league with zero sacks after 3 weeks. They don't have a sack.
Really?
The Broncos.
Wow.
And he's got 8. Take that, Bronco management. How do you like that?
Poor John Elway.
Poor John Elway. Von Miller's waiting for number 1. Chubb's waiting for number 1.
Holy cow, I had no idea.
And they let Shaq Barrett go. So, look, once in a while, the Bucs make a good move. Now, I don't know whether it's Light, Arians, or both.
They make a good
move. But they made a good move.
They make a good move, then they make to stub their toes.
Attention all first responders through September. We want to get this out there. It's important. Bill Curry Ford is doubling the Ford rebate available to you. That's $2,000 off because that's what first responders mean to Bill Curry Ford, home to the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Bill Curry Ford has been Tampa's first family of Ford for nearly 60 years. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com or at their friendly showroom 1 mile north at Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. BillCurryFord.com. Way to go, Bill Curry Ford.
It was nice to see Evans break out. I thought he would this week.
Gary Shelton was bragging about me. Did you hear what Gary Shelton said? I was sitting with Gary, for those who don't know, Gary Shelton.
Long-time columnist.
Yeah, veteran columnist of Tampa Bay area. Long-time with the St. Petersburg Times. And I used to talk with him for, half hour, 45 minutes before the game. And I was talking to him. I said, you know what? I think Mike Evans is going to break out today. He goes, why do you think that? I said, well, we all know he was sick the first game. And that was a quick turnaround. So 4 days later, I'm not so sure he was 100%. Well, we're a week and a half after that. So I said, I think Evans is going to... I never expected him to get 3 touchdowns and a half. There's only one player that's ever done it in Bucs history. Your man, Jimmy Giles.
My man, Jimmy Giles. And he ended up with 4 against the Dolphins.
And in one half? Did he?
No, in the game.
Oh, in the game.
He had 4
okay.
touchdowns against the Dolphins. Lee, it's hard to believe you can waste the efforts of Mike Evans and Shaq Barrett in this game.
I feel bad about Mike Evans because he's such a class act and he's so good. And he said this past offseason, I am sick of losing. And he's stuck. And I don't care. People don't like it. I got something to add to that in a second. He's with a clown car of an NFL franchise. My poor Mike Evans. I do. I feel bad for him. And I'm confident I'll get another text this week from someone at One Buck. I usually do. And I've hearing chatter from people I know that know players. And they're telling me, hey, you know, Joe Buck's and the players don't like him. Well, I don't care if the players like me or not. That'd be nice to be liked, but that's not my goal.
Win some games.
The next time I get a text saying you're being too negative, I'm going to say, you guys are the ones being too negative. I'm not missing blocks. I'm not missing tackles. And I sure as hell am not missing field goals. So if you got a problem with that, start winning some freaking games. I'm not the one losing games. You guys have bordering on a 12-year playoff drought. Worst home record in the NFC since Chucky was fired. And Joe Buck's fans to blame? Are you got to be kidding me?
And wait, let's be honest. If the Bucs are successful, the website does better.
Look at what happened last week.
It's in your vested interest that the Bucs are successful.
Simply put, if the Bucs win, we make money. Simply put.
I mean, simply put.
So I'm a capitalist. I'm not a socialist.
You know who they could have used today, Lee?
Really,
you know who they could have used?
Matt Bryant?
Rondé Barber in his prime. I think he said he wanted to suit up and play again. Please, Rondé, please.
You know what? These poor guys... Not poor, they got a Super Bowl ring, and they're well off, so I can't call them poor. But I kind of feel sad for them that they come out and they get honored, and whenever they get honored, the team just drops the number 2 on the field.
You know, Lee, right now from the booth we're in, I'm looking out, and I'm looking at the east facade, and I see Barber, and there's Lynch, and there's Brooks, and there's Sapp. Off an iconic, you know, defense that was great for a long time, and that 2002 was one of the great defenses of the modern era.
Yes, it was.
And then we got to go out there and watch this Drek. D-R-E-C-K.
Well, for 2 quarters, it was
today.
Drek.
And look, if you're a Giants fan, you say, hey, I'm excited about Daniel Jones, blah, blah, blah. But we're not Giants fans. We're looking at it from a Buck perspective, and it's inexcusable, Lee. It's just inexcusable. Is the season over? No. The season's not over.
No, it sure looks like it, though.
But this was a bad one. I mean, a really bad one.
Yeah, this was right up there when they got curb-stomped by the Steelers, but with 37 points, I think it was, on a September Sunday afternoon when it was mostly Steelers fans here. But this
I saw a lot of blue when I was walking.
There's a lot of blue. You know, you were talking about the Giants. You know, after today, Giants have hope. A rookie quarterback, first start. He takes him from an 18-point deficit, wins the game. Oh,
without Barkley.
Without the best running back in the league. And what do the Bucs have? Despair. More despair. I mean, these poor fans, and I don't want to hear, you know, like some guy tweeted me tonight, and he must have been, I'm not knocking this guy, I don't know who it is, I'm not even going to say his handle, but he's like, well, there seem to be a lot of blue in there, there's a lot of seats that are empty, and I replied to him, you expected otherwise with this team?
You know, Lee, today's the first, and again, the second half, you know, primarily, miscommunications, poor tackling. Mm-hmm. Rampant in the second half.
Which,
rampant.
Oddly enough, the previous game,
we hadn't seen that.
Yeah.
We hadn't seen that.
Something happened at halftime. I don't know what it was.
This is not an offensive juggernaut, the Giants, especially without Barkley.
Like I said, without Barkley, Ingram. I got, you know, that guy, I read about
him. He wasn't very good last year. I had him in a fantasy league. He disappointed me, but he's got a lot of talent.
Oh, my gosh.
He was hurt, too.
He was fantastic today. Like I said, the catch he made in the first half, I don't think I've seen a better one by a tight end. It looked like he was going up for a rebound. One
now,
hand pulled it in.
Lee, I believe it's worth mentioning, even sifting through the rubble of this debacle. the Bucs are running the ball well. It looks better.
They're okay.
It looks better.
It looks better,
than
but
the last few
can Ronald Jones break a tackle for a touchdown with this speed?
Lee, he's averaging 5.3 yards.
He's doing better.
Caught a ball a long game. Today.
Yeah, it's getting better. I'm not sold yet that the running game is fixed. It's getting better, but you know this slugfest running game they're in. That's another thing. You know, Arians. You could tell Arians. Now I don't know if he was scared of James took the ball out of his hands. I don't know that. I got the sense that's what happened.
It looks like they were sitting on that lead a little bit.
Especially after the interception. It looks like after that, Arians said, that's it, I'm running the ball. I don't know if that's true, and everything he said did not discount that. So I don't know if they were scared of Jameis or what, but it's not like they've got Barkley or they've got Adrian Peterson in his prime or something like that. They've got, in the immortal words of Dirk Cutter, I don't see Gale Sayers out there, referring to Peyton Barber. If you want to rely on a running game, great. But have a running game to rely on.
You know who took a big hit today? Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles took a hit today.
Sadly,
we built them up, deservedly so, especially for the job they did on McCaffrey. And with Barkley being a non-factor, if I told you 2 days ago, Barkley will be a non-factor and then he will get hurt and not play the rest of the game, you'd say, well, that's a 2-touchdown Buck victory.
Yeah.
And if I didn't even throw in that they had an 18-point lead at half. Lee, you can't do what they did today. You just can't do it.
They put the game, they being the Giants, put the game on a silver platter for the Bucs, and the Bucs kicked it over.
I mean they scored 2 touchdowns. You know how unusual that is for the Bucs? 2 touchdowns in the first quarter? Hadn't happened since the season opener in New Orleans when you joined me in the Crescent City last year. Are they mentally tough enough to forget about this and bounce back? Are they mature enough?
It's going to test Arians.
He's going to say all the right things publicly.
Sure.
You move on, you turn the page,
starting
Monday, blah, blah, blah. That sounds good. That sounds good.
Well, the proof will be in the pudding. If they beat the Rams, I don't expect it, unfortunately. Or if they beat the Saints. The way they played today, I'm not expecting it. Not in the Dome. Not the way Bridgewater and the Saints played. They hammered Seattle. So this game, this is one of those games, it really could collapse the team.
Do you disagree with me that even if Gabe made the kick, you're not really happy with the way the Bucs played today? I mean, even if they came out on the right end of this thing, you still would have been troubled?
Troubled, but not negative, to use a favorite phrase of people at One Buck Place about Joe Bucs, man. Disappointed, maybe concerned about how they collapsed in the second half, but hey, Gabe makes that kick, it's like, hey,
scoreboard.
You know, they took the best punch from the Giants, they got off the mat, and they won the match. That didn't happen. You know, here Arians is Mr. Risk It, No Biscuit, and, you know, Mr. Be Aggressive and everything, and he took a page out of, you're going to get mad when I say this, he took a page out of the Tony Dungy book, or Tony Dungy's School of Losing. Remember when Dungy did that in Green Bay? They were playing for a playoff spot. The winner wins the division. The loser goes to play Philadelphia. And they had a chance to kick like a 39-yard field goal. And it was almost the same situation as today. And Dungy had Sean King take a snap, take 2 or 3 steps back, and kneel down to set up a field goal. And Gramatica missed the kick by about 6 inches. Had they not taken that loss, it probably was a made field goal. And the Bucs would have won the division.
Lee, let me ask you this pointedly. Is it the 5 yards itself with the deliberate delay of game, or is it the shenanigans, whatever, and the tactics that you think
has a psychological effect on the kicker right before he's going to kick when they do these kind of maneuver things. You think that could affect a rookie kicker?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I see what you're saying. We're going to set it up for you. We'll put it on you. You're a rookie, possibly. I don't know if I said this earlier in the podcast. I know I told you this before we started the podcast. You know, I hear people saying, oh, here's the Bucks again. They wasted another pick on a kicker. Can you tell me, Ira, what position the Bucks have not burned a draft pick on?
I understand.
So when people say, oh, they wasted a draft pick on a kicker, they wasted draft picks on everybody.
Some good luck with wide receivers with Evans and Godwin. Some
linebackers, wide receivers, yes. But, I mean, I think there's just about every position on the team, with the exception of wide receivers and possibly linebackers. You know, you're not going to hit every draft pick. But with the Bucks, it's a special kind of distribution.
The secondary took a big step back today. It was rough out there. Mm-hmm.
Mike Edwards, who I think is going to be a good rookie.
I think he's going to be a good player.
Yeah, he took his lumps.
Yeah, he dropped an interception. He should have had it. He also took a bad angle on Ingram, 75-yarder.
Took a bad angle on Ingram, yeah. Now, the missed interception, I'm not really upset by that.
It wasn't an easy one, but he should have had it. I thought he should have had it.
But also,
he read the play well.
He read the play and he batted the ball down and got him off the field.
He did.
He got him off. Should he have intercepted? Yes, but he got him off the field. It wasn't like the next play they got a first down. So he got him off the field. So I can't get too upset about that. But Bruce Arians, 13 seconds left with the ball on the 9-yard line. You have O.J. Howard. You have Cameron Brake. You have Mike Edwards. Chris Godwin.
Mike Evans.
Mike Evans. Of all people, you would think Arians would take one, maybe two shots. He took none. To me, that tells me he was scared of Jameis. That's what that tells
me. He would tell you that's his confidence in Matt Gay. That's what he would tell you.
Sure he would say that publicly. What he would tell you. Any coach, you want a touchdown over a field goal, obviously. I just one shot. You know, if you throw it incomplete, oh, well, then you bring Gay on.
You know, Lee, minutes before that, in the fourth quarter, I felt they needed a touchdown at that point. Yeah. They settled for the field goal, 6-point lead. I don't think Buck fans were very comfortable with that 6-point lead at that point. Lee, what do you think the dominant conversation was as Buck fans, not Giant fans, as Buck fans filed out of Ray J this afternoon?
Same old Bucks.
What do you think they were saying to each other?
Same old Bucks, and a new phrase Arians started a month or two ago, Bucks beating Bucks. Matt Gay missed, Bucks beating Bucks. But
Hargraves and Levante David both said to me, we gave it away.
Yeah.
We gave it away.
Yeah. I just think Bucks fans, what they said.
And that's hard to live with.
Yeah, I just think when Bucks fans fouled out of the stadium, they aptly named Den of Depression. I think Bucks fans were walking out saying, throwing their hands in the air, same old Bucks. Same old Bucks.
What'd you think of Rondé's halftime ceremony? I was down on the field.
Yeah, I thought it was neat, but what I thought was may have gotten overlooked. I don't know if you saw all the Jumbotron appearing. All these Bucks alumni that you haven't heard of in years showed up for this.
I was down there among them.
Which tells me that they all the respect that they have for Rondé Barber. I mean, there was guys. Gary Shelton never said there was a guy that he played all of 20 games with the Bucks. They put him on the Jumbotron.
Wow. Sapp was down there. I saw him carrying it.
With their gold jackets.
Yeah. Brooks showed up.
Yeah,
Somebody said he wasn't going to come, but he showed up. I saw on the executive front, I saw John Idzik, Tim Ruskell.
Really?
Yeah. So a lot of guys showed up. Allstott was there. I was surprised. I wanted to see Brian Kelly. I know he lives in Los Angeles and he couldn't make it. I didn't see Simeon.
Oh, I thought he lived around here.
I didn't see Simeon. Didn't see Simeon.
Who knows where he's at? He could be in the Philippines, bro. You know, Simeon lives Simeon's life.
But it was a big turnout.
Yeah. Dwight Smith.
Didn't see him.
No?
Didn't see him. Saw Dexter Jackson. Saw Jermaine Phillips.
He was up on a jump. Was it the good Dexter Jackson you saw?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw the good Dexter Jackson. Yeah. Brad Johnson. Brad was there.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Everybody was having a good time. You know, if you don't like Rondé Barber, you don't like football. You just don't like football. He played it the right way.
You know?
And I call him the smartest player in football when he was playing. And that's what Peyton Manning was playing. And I still said, I think Rondé Barber's the smartest player. Because Lee, he's 5'10", physically not imposing, good athlete, but not great by NFL standards, mm-hmm. but a good athlete, obviously. I think he ran track in college.
I think so, too.
You know, but he's not a speedster. He's not Deion Sanders, you know.
Not Deion Sanders, not the Redskins, long time.
Daryl Green. He's not Daryl Green. That's exactly right. But smart. Boy, could he diagnose.
Would the word guile apply?
Guile. Excellent. And who was his favorite victim? Donovan McNabb. who didn't throw a lot of picks.
No,
he wasn't known for throwing a lot of picks.
And I have nothing against Donovan McNabb at all.
He was a good quarterback.
Good quarterback. Borderline Hall of Fame. Borderline.
He was a good quarterback.
As you would say, he's in a discussion. I don't know if he'll ever get in. But I laughed because whenever you think of Ronnie Barber, you mention Donovan McNabb. We all remember the ultimate play. Brooks says it's the ultimate Bucks play.
It is the ultimate Bucks play.
His pick six against Philly, that sealed the NFC championship.
Now they were up 10, and there was 5 minutes left. But they were driving. They were on the buck 20. They score there. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe the Bucks fold.
David Akers is an excellent kicker.
And you never know.
Yeah.
You know, I love Brooks's line because I said to Brooks when we were talking about that play, I said, how come I didn't see you escorting Rondé down the field like...
a chaperone?
Yeah, there was one. It might have been Dwight Smith that was the only guy running down there with Rondé.
And
Brooks said, I was looking up in the stands. I was looking at the Eagle fans because nobody was going to catch Rondé. That's a classic line from Brooks.
I thought you were suggesting that Brooks was asking you why you didn't escort Ronnie Barber down to your Hall of Fame to his podium for his halftime speech.
You know, Lee, we'll talk more about Rondé as the season goes on, and I'll let you guys know about what's going on vis-a-vis the Hall of Fame. Right now, he's on the preliminary list. So is Volstadt. So Simeon, but that doesn't mean anything. That's 120 names. They'll get cut to 25, and Rondé has made that cut 2 years in a row because he's been eligible 2 years in a row. The cut he hasn't made is the last one, 25 to 15. If he can make that one, he gets in that room.
Then you get lobbying.
And I get to do a little lobbying. So Sal Pal out there today, right?
Sal Did you Pal, lobby with him about Barber?
No. He's never said one good word about Barber. He's always been a... he wanted the guy from the Eagles.
Dawkins.
He's a Dawkins guy. And, you know, South Powell's a Philly guy, mm-hmm. Jersey. And I couldn't argue. I never took any pot shots against Dawkins. But you got to respect John Lynch, you know.
What about Serby out there? Is Serby vote?
I see Serby. No, Serby's not in the room.
See, Serby's not in the room.
Serby's lucky. He's got a column at the Post. Boy, he's been there a long time.
He has. No, didn't you see he got into it with Richard Todd once?
He did. He got into a physical altercation with Todd. Because they had a quarterback named Matt Robinson, and Todd wasn't doing that great, and Serby wrote a column like, hey, I think they should switch to Matt Robinson. So then, you know, that ran on Sunday, and on Wednesday, here comes Serby sauntering into the Jets locker room, and Todd's waiting for him, and I think he grabbed Serby by the throat.
Ooh.
Grabbed him by the throat, Lee. Now, there might be a couple of bucks that want to grab you by the throat.
Yeah, I hear
but
that.
But you know what? You stick to your guns. Win some freaking games.
Well, I think I'm fair. And as I told someone once before, I guarantee if I go up to Mike Evans, I said, Mike, and I've seen Mike before, saw him a couple nights ago at Jameis' function. He talks to me. He's good with me. The guys who play well, we give them their props, like Evans. It says a lot that I think Evans is so good he doesn't belong on his team. I hate to say that, but he doesn't deserve this team. He does not deserve this team.
We're talking Barrett up. Barrett's a monster, you know.
Cam Brake.
Getting his due.
Who's defended Jameis more than I have? With the possible exception of Pat Donovan. Who has defended me? More than me? Nobody. Outside of Pat Donovan. Nobody.
Especially when I go into my little riff that he's got to win football games.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, I understand. It's no longer college, and in college, it's all fluff, and they expect that. So they get in the pros, and not everybody's genuflecting in front of them. You're negative. Well, win some games. If people want to know...
This is not Buccaneers.com, and we're not knocking Buccaneers.com.
No.
Every team has its own website, but that's not us.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I think I've been light on the Bucks. Not Jason light, but light on the Bucks. And why I say that is, day after day after day, I should be crucifying this franchise. Because they're a laughing stock. Why shouldn't we pump them up? Pump them for what reason?
National pundits kill them.
Kill them. All the time. And deservedly so. I mean, you know, I hate to say it, but Scuttlebucks, which is a great podcast, but the Scuttlebutt out of New York was, this is the time to start Daniel Jones.
Strategic.
And the Bucks will collapse. We just saw it. What was wrong with that? So
now, Lee, when the Bucks travel to L.A., and they will play 4 o'clock on Sunday, yours truly will be at Buffalo Wild Wings, Oldsmar,
Tampa Road. But I'm looking forward to seeing Buck fans there. They got a big, extensive menu. Get there early. Get your seat. Because when I went to Riverview for the game in Charlotte on the Thursday night, the place was packed. All Buck fans. You could enjoy it amongst your comrades, you know, and boom if they're losing and cheer them when they make a good play. It's a heck of a festive atmosphere. And I look forward to meeting all our supporters. And if you got some criticisms, I'll take that too, Lee. I'll take it all.
Lee, it might be time to change up. Maybe get some egg rolls. Visit the Orient. You never know. Nachos are always a strong choice.
Since you couldn't go to a man's Chinese theater in Los Angeles, you're going to eat egg rolls.
You're a man of the people, Ira.
And unlike some of my brethren in this business, Lee, and you've heard me say it before, but you've observed it, and you know it's true. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid to shake the hand of a fan and listen to their point of view.
I mean, like someone who drives an Audi or a Volvo?
Aren't they the people that pay our salary, ultimately? Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about.
Maybe it's the environment I was brought up in, but I never lost sight of that as a journalist. Without fans, you know, you and I are pumping gas for a living. And I know one guy, I'm not going to mention his name, don't want to embarrass him, and he's always scoffing at the fans. I always tell him, without those fans, I guess you're cleaning bedpans for a living. Because you sure wouldn't be writing sports.
And I got to do another segment with Brooks this week. Take two episodes of Tampa 2, The Identity. And I don't know if you saw last week's, but he wore a tie. Huh? And Brooks drew attention to his tie and said, I'm going to wear a tie after every Buck victory. And
he's not going to get too many dirty.
And I said, I don't have any ties, Brooksy.
You wear a tie.
No, I was kidding. So this week, I guess Brooks ain't wearing a tie. But
what if he does?
If he does, he screws up the whole thing. So, Lee, until we have our special guest later in the week, looking forward to that.
Can I give a hint?
Go ahead.
I have a hunch that somewhere Steve Dumig is smiling upon us. That's the only hint I will have.
More to come. This is one giant kick in the balls to Buck supporters who were starting to believe in this football team.